In this time of continuing insecurity and social upheaval, when we are unable to meet in person, I invite you into this time of online worship. For this short space of time, let us put our worldly cares aside, close our eyes, and imagine ourselves to be in our places of worship, surrounded by members of our beloved community, and be together, if only virtually, at this one time. I'm now going to light my chalice using some words by Benjamin Downing. Friends, draw close in your hearts. Listen together. Pray together. Share the mysteries which never die and the silences that never cease. And as we share and celebrate and worship, one in all and all in each, may we feel and know that we are being understood better than we know and understand ourselves. May we give to the winds our fears. May we give to the world our faith. May we give to life our thanks and our service forevermore. Let us join in the fellowship of prayer. Spirit of life and love, be with us as we gather for worship, each in their own place. Help us to feel a sense of community, even though we are physically apart. Help us to care for each other in this difficult time, keeping in touch however we may, and helping each other however we can. We hold in our hearts all those whose lives have been touched in whatever way by painful events in their lives and in the wider world, of which we are all a part. Amen. A reading from the Prophet by Khalil Gibran. Then a hermit, who visited the city once a year, came forth and said, "Speak to us of pleasure." And he answered, saying, "Pleasure is a freedom song, but it is not freedom. It is the blossoming of your desires, but it is not their fruit. It is a depth calling unto a height, but it is not the deep nor the high. It is the caged bird taking wing, but it is not space encompassed. I, in very truth, pleasure is a freedom song, and I fain would have you sing it with fullness of heart. Yet I would not have you lose your hearts in the singing. And now you ask in your heart, how shall we distinguish that which is good in pleasure from that which is not good? Go to your fields and your gardens, and you shall learn that it is the pleasure of the bee to gather the honey of the flower. But it is also the pleasure of the flower to yield its honey to the bee. For to the bee, a flower is the fountain of life, and to the flower, a bee is a messenger of love. And to both, bee and flower, the giving and the receiving of pleasure is a need and an ecstasy. People of Orphalese, be in your pleasures like the flowers and the bees. I invite you now to join with me, if you wish, in this alternative version of the Lord's Prayer. Spirit of life and love, here and everywhere, may we be aware of your presence in our lives. May our world be blessed. May our daily needs be met, and may our shortcomings be forgiven, as we forgive those of others. Give us the strength to resist wrongdoing, the inspiration and guidance to do right, and the wisdom to know the difference. We are your hands in the world. Help us to grow. May we have compassion for all living beings and receive whatever life brings with courage and trust. Amen. the first of two readings from the Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis. In these wonderful letters from a senior to a junior devil, the enemy referred to is God. Never forget that when we are dealing with any pleasure in its healthy and normal and satisfying form, we are, in a sense, on the enemy's ground. I know we have won many a soul through pleasure. All the same, it is his invention, not ours. He made the pleasures. All our research so far has not enabled us to produce one. All we can do is to encourage humans to take the pleasures which our enemy has produced at times or in ways or in degrees which he has forbidden. Hence we always try to work away from the natural condition of any pleasure to that in which it is least natural, least redolent of its maker, and least pleasurable. An ever-increasing craving for an ever-diminishing pleasure is the formula. It is more certain, and it's better style. To get the man's soul and give him nothing in return, that is what really gladdens our Father's heart. Let us join once more in the fellowship of prayer. Spirit of life and love, our lives move in one direction, but we need not fear the destination. There are worse things than journey's end, if end it be. Worse things, like living without purpose, living without love, living without ever having seen the gossamer in autumn. Spirit of life, we are grateful for the things we need for our existence, our food and drink, our shelter from the storm, the clothes on our backs, the basics that everyone on earth should have. But as Jesus said, life is more than food. Help us to receive with gratitude the things we need to live. The loving touch, the word of comfort, the vision of earth's glory, the sense of your presence in all creation. Our lives move in one direction. There is no going back. May joy be ours on the journey. Joy in sharing it with those who share the way. However long the road, however hard, help us amid the tears always to find reasons for laughter, song, and praise as we travel together. May it be so. Amen. A second reading from the Screwtape Letters. The long and the short of it is that you have let the man slip through your fingers. On your own showing, you first of all allowed the patient to read a book he really enjoyed, because he enjoyed it, and not in order to make clever remarks about it to his new friends. In the second place, you allowed him to walk down to the old mill and have tea there, a walk through country he really likes, and taken alone. In other words, you allowed him two real positive pleasures. Were you so ignorant as not to see the danger of this? The deepest likings and impulses of any man are the raw material, the starting point, with which the enemy has furnished him. To get him away from those is therefore always a point gained. Even in things indifferent, it is always desirable to substitute the standards of the world, or convention, or fashion, for a human's own real likings and dislikings. You should always try to make the patient abandon the people or food or books he really likes in favour of the best people, the right food, the important books. I have known a human defended from strong temptations to social ambition by a still stronger taste for tripe and onions. I invite you now to join in a time of stillness and reflection, to sit with your back straight, your feet planted firmly on the earth, your eyes closed, and your hands in your lap. There will be some words, a time of silence, then a few more words. Today, it is hard to find silence. We are bombarded by noise from all sides. And when we might be able to find silence, we destroy it by turning on some noise in order to find distraction from ourselves, because we are restless, uncomfortable in our own skins. If we experience the stillness of silence, we might have to look deep inside ourselves, and we are not sure if we would like what we would find. Mother Teresa said, "God is the friend of silence. The trees, plants and flowers all grow in silence. The sun, moon, and stars all move in silence." Let us take a few moments to enjoy silence. May we allow ourselves to be who we are. May we be comfortable with who we are. May we allow the divine to flow through us. Amen. We'll now have some music. My concise Oxford Dictionary defines pleasure as feeling of satisfaction or joy, sensuous enjoyment as an object of life. Neither of which are bad things, right? And yet the prophet warns us of its potential dangers. Pleasure is a freedom song, but it is not freedom. It is the blossoming of your desires, but it is not their fruit. It is a depth calling unto a height, but it is not the deep nor the high. It is the caged bird taking wing, but it is not space encompassed. I fain would have you sing it with fullness of heart, yet I would not have you lose your hearts in the singing. I guess that what he means is that feeling pleasure is lovely and, yes, pleasurable, but it should not distract us from the deepest and highest things in our lives. And I guess he's right up to a point. Yet I also believe that feeling pleasure is something that can lead us into those depths and heights, to moments of awe and wonder. But I take his point. We should not lose our hearts in the singing, not view pleasure as an object of life, as the dictionary has it. On the other hand, should pleasure be viewed as an extra, as something we enjoy when it happens, but should not expect? For me, that is the difference between truly experiencing moments of wonder when out in the natural world, for example, and dismissing the glories of nature as scenery, something we pass through without noticing it. So I believe there is a balance to be struck between an all-encompassing pursuit of pleasure, which some call hedonism, which my dictionary defines as doctrine that pleasure is the chief good or proper aim, and being so fixated on the serious matters of life that we see pleasure as a waste of time, because it does not forward our goals. A balance between singing it with fullness of heart and not losing our hearts in the singing. I find it so interesting that people talk about activities such as eating chocolate or other forms of self-indulgence as guilty pleasures. Wikipedia defines a guilty pleasure as something such as a film, a television program, or a piece of music that one enjoys despite understanding that it is not generally held in high regard or is seen as unusual or weird. Yet C.S. Lewis, in the Screwtape Letters, sees such honest pleasures as defences against temptation. As Screwtape points out to Wormwood in our third reading, the deepest likings and impulses of any man are the raw material, the starting point, with which the enemy has furnished him. To get him away from those is therefore always a point gained. Even in things indifferent, it is always desirable to substitute the standards of the world, of convention or fashion, for a human's own real likings and dislikings. You should always try to make the patient abandon the food or people or books he really likes, in favour of the best people, the right food, the important books. Once more, it is a matter of balance. I love chocolate. I adore chocolate, especially Cadbury's Dairy Milk. But I often feel guilty for eating it. I feel it's okay if I only eat a 50-gram bar. But if my son or my husband buy me a 200-gram bar, I find it very difficult not to eat it all at one sitting. I just love the taste so much. But if I have 2 or 3 50-gram bars in a week, I'm happy with that. It feels like a legitimate pleasure. I have found my personal balance. Lewis, through Screwtape, warns us of the danger of overindulgence, of becoming fixated on a particular pleasure. All we can do is to encourage humans to take the pleasures which our enemy has produced, at times or in ways or in degrees which he has forbidden. Hence we always try to work away from the natural condition of any pleasure to that in which it is least natural, least redolent of its maker, and least pleasurable. An ever-increasing craving for an ever-diminishing pleasure is the formula. This is the danger of hedonism, of losing our balance in the pursuit of a transitory pleasure. It comes out in the form of addiction. I was taking the pleasures which our enemy has produced, at times or in ways or in degrees which he has forbidden. I quit drinking nearly 7 years ago for precisely that reason. I realised that the pleasure I got from drinking red wine was getting out of control, and that I was drinking far more than the recommended weekly guidelines. I could not be one of those people who just has a glass or two at the weekend. I realised that it was impossible for me to moderate. My only choice was to abstain. And so I have. But it was hard. I believe that most people have some pleasure, whether it is an appetite for a particular drink or foodstuff, an addiction to smoking or gambling, that we have to be aware of, keep on top of, lest we lose that balance and drop into hedonism. Moderation is fine, but it is not always possible. This is not to denigrate the importance of pleasure in our lives. I believe that being aware of pleasure, of feeling grateful for it, when the joy of experience a particular pleasure washes over us, is an important part of a rich and meaningful life. If we deny ourselves anything which gives us pleasure, we are likely to be A, miserable, and B, to snap and overindulge in whatever we were denying ourselves. Which is why diets don't work. If we decide that a particular pleasure is becoming dangerous to our well-being, because we are indulging it in unwise ways, the only solution is to dig deep and change our lifestyle. Johannes Kepler was a 17th century German astronomer and mathematician. When I was training to be a librarian, I spent a blissfully happy year at the Royal Greenwich Observatory in Hurstmonzeau Castle, East Sussex, and I catalogued many of his books on planetary motion and other astronomical subjects. He had an influence on many of his peers and successors, including Isaac Newton. Like many scientists of his day, he was also somewhat of a philosopher, and wrote, "A hundred little joys are worth a thousand times more than one big one." And I believe he was right. If we are awake and aware enough to notice the small pleasures of every day, our underlying happiness will surely be greater than if we are only lifted out of our doldrums by one big happy event. There used to be a blog called Three Beautiful Things, now sadly defunct, in which the author posted daily about three things which had attracted her attention as beautiful. I used to read it every morning and gained an appreciation of the practice of searching for small everyday pleasures which would lift my spirits. Today, for example, I asked a friend a favour and she has responded positively and enthusiastically. And I'm going to get round to clearing the desk in my study, which has been cluttered and distracting for too long. This afternoon I intend to spend crocheting some hexagons for my new project, always a pleasure. If we learn to notice and appreciate the small pleasures in our lives, then, as Roger Courtney so beautifully put it in our time of stillness and reflection, we can allow ourselves to be who we are, be comfortable with who we are, and allow the divine to flow through us. Three small pleasures, all in one day. Why not give it a try? If it worked for Kepler, and it works for me, maybe it will work for you. Some closing words by Cliff Reid. Grant us freedom from fear of the future that blights the present. Grant us freedom from the too desperate hoping that denies this moment, now. Grant us the freedom to taste life's sweetness and to live it lovingly. To let go when the time comes, and so be blessed. Amen.
Yes.